Let's figure it out.
Kathy, are you on this? Are you logged in?
Oh,
Okay,
something.
about me?
No, it's another Kathy, I'm sure. No.
I see Kathy's phone here. That's why
Oh, I thought it was you.
mine actually
Anyway,
has my
that
whole
would
name.
work.
Gonna say I tested it when it came. I'm sure it worked.
I know. You're very.
I'm sure I logged off. That was a week ago.
Are we having a meeting this week too?
Yes, we are, because we're having a budget meeting next week. Which is the date? What's the date for the budget meeting? Oh no.
It's not until February.
We're
What date
having a
again?
meeting
Oh.
to discuss the budget on the 13th. We're not
No.
gonna
No, we don't need to.
we're not gonna think about
Too
it.
soon.
Not going to
No,
do
the
it on
budgets.
Tuesday.
Yes, we are.
Okay, I
There's
think I'm going to have to make a choice now.
no way we can do Wednesday nights with all the activities in the club.
There's not any room available.
How about the one at the
No.
end of the hall?
How about the end of the hall?
Yeah, we could do that.
They increasingly are saying they're having issues with AC.
Well,
We'll bring a
I've
cooler.
got a conflict on Tuesdays.
Okay.
We'll bring a cooler.
All right. Well, let's see how it goes. I'm trying not to, you know. It's just Wednesday night. It's so packed here on Wednesdays, it's gotten hard. Hold on. When is that date of February, Charlie? I thought this was on this list, but it's not. Just because we're going to have to.
It's
Let's talk
February.
about that.
What date were you
Well,
thinking?
I want to tie it in
Oh,
one way or the other. We need to figure this out now.
Tuesdays in February will be the third and
No,
10th.
it already was. We set something already because we have to have a certain amount of days.
February 10th, I think.
I know,
Did
but
you
we
play
changed
on?
it because there's no
Did
way
you
we're
play
going to
on
have enough
Saturday?
proxies.
I didn't see you.
We want to give ourselves
I didn't
enough
see
time to
you.
get
I
proxy
didn't see you on
votes.
there. The budget's on
Yeah.
February 10th.
Yeah.
If
Yeah.
I
Okay.
didn't
So
talk
it
to you,
is.
I think we're good realization. We're not going to
Right.
have
Except we
email.
need time to get the proxy votes. Otherwise, it's going to talk about the budget. Delay it if we have to.
There was a
Right, the
great
10th of February,
deal
what's it?
this
February 10th.
landscape
So nothing next
interesting.
week. No.
Right. No, we don't.
No.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
When we relooked at the
Maybe
schedule, it was just better to do
next
it that way.
week. I knew as soon as I was sitting
Guys,
there.
if you want to say something before we start the official meeting, you have to do a sign-in sheet and you get 3 minutes and then we're going to move into our meeting. And then at that point, you can't, there's no discussion. Okay? Thank you.
Now, are you signing if you have a question?
Yeah.
No.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it just gives you hello. Good. Because once we start the meeting, we're not, you know, we.
Oh, it's just the
Yeah, you have to sign up if you want to say something. How are you?
I'm cold.
How are you? I'm here.
Thank God.
How are you?
We need you. What does the state building want?
No.
Get the reported.
Huh?
Email us.
Email
Yeah,
to
please.
the
Yeah. Our board at PIRFaceG.com. At PIRFaceG.com. No, there's no more dots in it. We got rid of that. PIRFaceG.com. Or Miss, just tell them now. Tell them now.
Get that
Yeah.
right.
And if you have photos of anything, it's helpful.
Yeah. Okay, guys, before we start, welcome. But
Interesting. Has anyone checked the book club? It's not this.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Is this on? Oh, no, it's not. Ah, there we go. All right. Now we're live. Now it's getting scary. Okay, guys, we're going to have our no book club people here tonight, right? Just because there was a confusion about book clubs next door. The meeting starts. What? Book club is, there was a jumble of where it's meeting. If anybody wants to say something before we start the meeting, you can get 3 minutes. You have to do sign in. Then we'll open the meeting. Then there's no more discussion. It's going to be a short, pretty short meeting because we're going to have a presentation from the people about the paint. So thank you for coming because this is important for, we need your opinions on this because it's going to be, it's not a decision. I don't want to make it myself. So that's for sure. All right. So it's 7 o'clock. It's actually 7:02. I can read my time without my glasses. Welcome. Thanks for coming. Hopefully this guy's gonna come.
Yeah, they confirm.
Okay. All right. Good. All right, Suzanne, you're number one on the list, or are you all set?
I have something else.
Oh, okay. Come on. Thank you.
I think
no, you have to come up to the mic because we have all these friends in Zoom land and they can't hear you. Is that on? No, that's not on. I have where that you're from building 12 and 12. Don't worry about that.
I can speak really well.
Yeah, you might have to, but or we'll turn it. There we go. All right. Welcome. Thank you.
I just wanted to mention that I think they're called ficus plants.
Ficus.
And they used to really hide the dumpster as you drive into Poinciana. And it looks like some of them have died back. And so now when you drive.
Oh, you're talking about the hedge?
Yeah, the hedge.
Okay. Thank you.
So I just wanted to mention that it looks like it's dying for some reason. So I was just bringing that up.
As a follow up, we've been getting additional spraying that's white fly. Okay, and so we've been getting additional spraying through the company. They've still said that they're favorable, so we're trying to spray and keep them going.
Yeah, but that and you're talking about building 12 that you're concerned about, or
building that I was concerned about is building 4.
Okay,
the trash room smells like human urine.
Oh, well. Well, it's a post-holiday trash situation, but yeah, we'll send our maintenance guys out there tomorrow morning. Yeah, thank you. Okay, thank you, Suzanne. And we have Lydia, who hasn't come to visit us for a while. Welcome, Lydia.
Thank you.
3 minutes, Lydia. 3 minutes. Just push it down towards you. Okay.
So, Happy New Year, and here's the thing. I'm building more on apartment 307. My name is Lydia Sterovic. I'm speaking for all of us.
Yes.
We have the trash downstairs. The door is broken and downstairs,
yes.
And it's all exposed. The one part of the double door is hanging on.
Yes. Hands. We just ordered doors. We just ordered doors. We just ordered new doors.
As part of the special assessment, there was $250,000 allocated for trash room doors and doors throughout the community. They just ordered $75,000 worth.
Yeah, and number one is number one on the list. No, we're well aware. No, it's unacceptable. No, it's okay. It's yeah.
Number two, when are the trees coming? Because you know.
Oh, actually,
starting on Monday.
Yeah, well, for yeah, the trees. They. It's a good question, and that's actually on the agenda.
The first building.
But there's two things about the trees. Well, first of all, they ripped up all the. What little irrigation we had left, a lot of that was destroyed when they pulled those trees. So they have to make sure that the irrigation is in, and then the trees and the sod will come in right behind it. So that's all in the works.
And the other two trees remaining still on the ground.
They have to stay.
Oh, nice.
They no the trees. Okay, just to kind of re-go back to visit trees, even though it's not on the agenda, I'll just get into it now. The town of Davie, we had an open permit with the town of Davie, and the arborists from the town of Davie designated all the trees we took out. We did the trees, that permit was going to expire in November, which was already passed. To have resubmitted and redone that permit would have cost us probably about four times more than what we spent. So we got a good deal from Davie and we took advantage of it. So we got a little ahead of the process. We would have normally have had a little bit more right behind it, but at that point we couldn't let the permit drop, so we took out all the trees that the arborist designated. We took out a couple, maybe about five extras, but because they were too close to the building, the root systems were affecting the parking lots. But that's phase one of the parking lot issue, is those trees had to go so that we can, because the parking lots are going to start probably sometime in February, and that was the first process. So yeah, so it's on its way. It's just we have to beg the bank for the money that they said they'd give us, but we have to still
Yeah,
go to mommy and daddy and ask.
it's a money issue, and but thank you
Yeah,
for
thank you.
helping.
All
I
right.
can't wait to see them.
Okay, yeah, I know, because they're small, but
Might not.
it'll be nice. Yeah, it'll be nice. Yeah.
Building 10 is
They
completed.
just did the
Where you
ones
said
in
the other
front.
ones
Yeah.
are.
Yeah. But the irrigation, it doesn't, we can't plant trees without water. Otherwise they'll die. And then that's money down the drain. So we're on a tight budget, kids. We got to make sure we have money. You're welcome.
And
Okay.
if you check out the trees leading to the office, the younger trees leading to the office, those are the trees that will be planted at the building.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That's it. Anybody
Yes.
else? Okay, good. Well,
Thank you.
thank you. Thanks for coming. Happy New Year. I want to just call this meeting to order. And we're going to start with a roll call of who's here.
Okay. Patricia Wallen,
Present.
John Paredes,
Here.
Lisa Bodd,
Here.
Eileen Spencer is here, Renee Lawrence,
Here.
and Kathy McGlory.
Here.
We have a full board.
Okay, thank you. Proof of notice of the meeting was sent out in plenty of time due to the holiday schedule. We sent it a little early just to make sure that in all the sales emails you actually caught it. Sorry, it's not 50% off, but that's how it goes. All right. So, and then do I, Eileen sent out the prior board meeting minutes. Do I have a motion from anybody to approve those minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from our prior board meeting.
Thank you. Do I get a second?
Second.
Thank you, John. Everybody agreed? Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, the motion passes. Thank you. All right, so like I said, we've got a presentation, so I don't want to take up too much time, but we're going to go through a quick conversation through all this stuff. Elevators. Because we finally got the loan and blah, 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 we've released some money. They're starting elevators in building 10, 4, and I think 5.
Yes.
We started with the two elevator buildings because we're in season, and we need to see how long it really takes. We got to get a real timeline. The issue is going to be for anybody in a one elevator building, the smaller buildings, which is every building but 7. Unfortunately, the elevator is going to probably take a month, at least probably 6 to 8 weeks. The elevators, as we all agree, are way past due and had to get done. So we're testing it out on the larger buildings. We'll send out notices so that the next smaller buildings will have plenty of notice to make arrangements. If you have issues about going up and downstairs, or especially for people who live on the fourth floor, and they're a little bit more confined. But it has to be done. It's for the good of all. So let's see how we do with the first three buildings. Well, those are our test cases, and then we'll go from there. But at this point, this project's going to be ongoing for probably 2.5 years, really. Well, about a couple years by the time we really get it. We have we're doing 19 or 20 elevators?
19.
19 elevators. That's a lot of elevators. But it keeps the county off our back because we've pulled permits, so we're in good shape and nobody's getting arrested. We're just barely one step ahead of the cops.
Nobody's getting stuck.
Yeah, nobody's getting, well, at least the elevator guys are on property now, so all the time. So the service to fix a bad elevator will happen faster. So we know where exactly where they are. So hopefully that'll be good. But
when did the elevators start?
The elevators have started.
Yeah.
Those three buildings have already started. So it's easy for the people in the big buildings, but it'll be more difficult for the people in the smaller buildings. Okay, we just did the mail out for the annual meeting. It was a big package. That package, and that the next item on the agenda is the budget discussion. But before we get to the budget, I just want to discuss the packet we sent out. The first part of the packet is our traditional notice of intent to run for the board. Okay? If anybody's interested in running for the board, they need to fill out that application and it needs to be submitted by the end of the month. All right. Then if you do it, you'll have another time to update and do a bio and all that stuff. But you have to, if you're interested, you have to send that paperwork in by the end of the month by January 23rd to the association. Okay. I'm just going to say this. I've been on the fence about whether I even want to do this again. This has not been the most pleasant of all jobs. It is difficult, but I encourage people to do it because if you do any community service, this is as close to community service as it can get. It's good, it's bad, it's up and down, it is what it is. But none of us are going to... There's no intention that someone's going to run this board for 40 more years. That's not happening anymore, nor should it happen anymore. That's why we were in some of the mess that we're in now. So it brings new voices, new ideas. So, and it's a learning curve. So if you're interested, I strongly encourage people to send in that application. If we have an election, so be it. I would rather have an election for a board then none at all again. I'm just saying, we need some new faces maybe coming up and give yourself some time to get your feet wet, your feet on the ground, and figure it out. There's a lot of certifications that have to happen now. There's a lot of new laws. You've got to do continuing education units. It's important. The laws have changed dramatically over the last 3 years, the state statutes. We don't do this because, a lot of the stuff we are doing because we want to, it's because we have to. And we're obligated by the state statutes to do it, which brings me the second issue is the budget package. If you noticed and you looked and you got it, you noticed that the budget right now is pretty flat. We did not increase the fees, the maintenance fees. I think they went up by maybe $3 a door. So we're well aware that it's as pretty as expensive as it can be. It's comparable against the market. It's our own little house here and it's our pocketbooks. But in that budget package, I want to just kind of go over this. There's a proxy vote that was in there about fully funded reserves. The state of Florida, when we were borrowing the money and stuff and all that, it was going to go towards fully funded reserves. They changed a lot of the law. We almost didn't get the loan because of it. And they changed it from, we did a reserve study a couple years ago. We're waiting for our final, we've updated it like we had to. And that will be posted when we get the final package. But there's certified and non-certified projects. The CERs are, you know, some things like the parking lots went from you had to do it to meh, you don't have to do it. But it is makes the property look better. We all know that the parking lots are in bad shape. The lawsuits for people falling into the giant potholes and going to China are not going to do us any good either. So it's better to be proactive and get it done. And it's also almost 50 years old. So, and actually a lot of the associations have all been doing their parking lots because all these places were all built around the same time. So in the budget package, to keep your maintenance fees at that extra, just an extra $3 more, we need you to send in your proxy vote about whether you want to add fully funded reserves. Now, that doesn't mean we're not putting money in reserves. We're going to be budgeting more money into reserves than we ever have before. And these are reserves for long-term projects like roofs, elevators, paint, you know, things that have to happen on a regular schedule so you don't get assessed every time something comes up. You pay for it every month through the years, and then the money should theoretically, and in our world, it will be there so that it will pay for these projects. The non-cert ones are a little bit more like some landscaping stuff, some there's a myriad of projects, you know, like the dumpster doors. They're not considered life and safety and structural, but they make the place look like terrible, like a dump if it's not done. Yeah. The state's gone back and forth and up and down about what's on that list. But for now, to keep your budgets under control, if you vote no about not funding fully funded reserves, you're not taking money away from the important projects, which is the life and safety stuff. You're just taking money away from the stuff that we're trying to catch up on and make it look pretty. And we'll be closer than we have been. There's at least 10 or 15 more projects we could easily do down the road, but we'll have to be a little bit more conservative so that we are always fixing and maintaining. The problem is because things are original, we're shifting some of that narrative, but by voting that proxy vote to not fully fund the reserves, it'll save you $34 a month in your maintenance fees. I don't know about you, but I'm looking that works for me. And also on top of the fact that we are, you know, that assessment is going to hit your pocketbooks in August. You'll have a few months where you'll save a few bucks on your Comcast bill. And then that money that you save on your internet and stuff will pay for the parking lots, the elevators, and all that other stuff. And, you know, it's not done lightly, but we have to do it. So, and I know people are tired of their elevators not working and their parking lots not being correct and all that other stuff. So, but you vote the way you believe. I'm not telling you one thing or the other. $34 extra a month, it's not an insignificant amount of money, but when you're handling a tight budget and inflation and all the other things that we're getting hit with on our budget. So that's up to you, but we'll be following up with people about those proxy votes for the budget. So look at your budget, go through it, pay attention. It's all out there. And we're just trying to keep it reasonably priced for everybody. Okay.
And okay. The current year is partially funded.
Hmm?
We're currently partially funded this year.
What do you mean?
We voted last year to partially fund.
Oh, yes. We did vote last year to partially fund. But like I said, we will be putting more money in reserve. So don't worry. We're not cutting this. We're not cutting you short for your future, is what we're. That's the point I want to make.
Correct. This year we voted to partially fund them. We've been doing just fine and working on all the projects that we've had to
Yeah,
work on.
it's.
It doesn't mean if something comes up, we're not going to pay for it. We would just pay for things as they come up, not the structural things. We would pay for it through our operating account versus having it put away in this in a reserve account.
Right.
So we'll things will still stay nice. We're doing well. And we've been in a partially funded situation already for this year through now. Again, both.
How it's worked out, it's a miracle to me, but somehow we managed to make it happen. And we've kept our delinquencies and stuff like that, and she'll do a treasurer's report a little bit later, has stayed pretty steady, but not, we haven't seen any terrible big increases, which is good for all of us, because every time that happens, it costs us all potentially a few extra pennies down the road. So, okay. But
I have a question about the cable. Are they going to have to come into our condos to?
Okay. Yeah, we'll get to that. Okay. Actually, that wasn't on the agenda tonight, but just because you asked. Bluestream, you'd have to be, they have quietly and very efficiently been here putting, laying cables and doing all their stuff. They will call you. They will start installing probably sometime in late March or April, and they will be setting up the appointment. They will tell you when Comcast, when to turn in your gear to Comcast and clean off your accounts with Comcast. That communication is completely going to come through Bluestream, okay? That they are go live at some point in May. They're on track right now. They're staying. These guys know what they're doing. It's like, I'm so impressed. They're like the least of my concerns. They have been very, very good. So far, so good. And Comcast may even send a truck out to pick up our stuff at some point. So, but make sure you know where all your stuff is. It's a good time to look. But they will be installing. Yes, you're right. They have to install into the unit. So that'll all be handled by them.
And we have to return our Comcast equipment?
They yes.
Yes.
It's your account with Comcast. Yes. And the Comcast won't do anything for you until they get their gear back.
Right.
You know, so I'm saying your remote controls, all your little extra stuff. You know, really make sure this is a good time to make sure that all that, you know where it is. And they, but Bluestream will, their customer service is very good, and they'll be very clear with you. So when, especially if they're in your unit installing, if you have a question, ask the technician. They're the experts about how to, what to do. But don't go canceling your Comcast yet. You'll be told when to do it. So yeah, you can't live without all your stuff. Okay. We already kind of touched on the landscaping with the trees and stuff. We, you know, they'll start in Poinciana, building what, one and then three, I think is also another.
Yeah, building one and 12.
Okay. Okay. All right. And in conjunction with that, at the end of probably sometime this month, we'll do a final walkthrough with Wolfer, who is our landscaper, who did the trees, and paving lady, who's going to be doing our parking lots. And, you know, so they'll do sections of parking lots. So you just think of the property as three separate properties, Poinciana, Lagoon, and then Orange Grove. So Orange Grove will be the easiest because it's just the one lot. So they may do half by the maintenance, by the pool and maintenance sheds, and half by the residential side, but they'll do it and complete it. So tonight's presentation about the painting is going to happen well after the parking lots are done, because we don't want you tracking all that, any tar or oil or whatever that might come off that surface onto new paint. You know, it's like we've already had a nightmare with the floors and the paint. So we just want to make sure that that's all covered. Okay. So, but for now, the trees will be replaced. The sod will also be replaced. They have to figure out the pits. There's some drainage areas in the parking lots. There's tree root incrusions on everywhere. And those giant ficus trees that are actually in the backs of some of these buildings will be a future project. But at some point, they're going to have to go because they're really affecting the water lines under the buildings. How they built these buildings with water lines underneath and underground is beyond my comprehension. But welcome to the 70s, children. That's where we're living here. So, but that's future. It's just, but be aware. So, report any leaks and all that stuff if it happens. Treasurer's report?
Okay, financial statements as of December 31st. Our reserve accounts total $1,594,730. Our other accounts, checking, savings, other receivables, total $817,176. So our total assets, total accounts are $2,411,907. And then our income for our fiscal today through December has been $5,184,448. And our total expenses, $5,158,672. So we're ahead of our expenses fiscal today by $25,776, which is in a good place to be considering all things that have been going on in this past year. And then in terms of delinquencies, we have an uptick in delinquencies, but it's predominantly due to the food and beverage cards. So many individuals have not paid for their food and beverage cards.
Oh, okay, sorry.
So our delinquencies currently stand at 240 units that are past due, with 208 that are over $100. And again, majority it's due to the food and beverage card. So if you haven't gotten a chance to send that $175 check, whether you're going to mail it or you're going to bring it off to the office, please do so because we already paid for the cards. The cards have been delivered today to the office. So you will be able to start picking up your cards tomorrow, but you can't pick up your card if you're past due.
Tomorrow afternoon, please. Joanne needs some time to do the list to make sure, because as you recall before, we have a sign-in list. We're going to sign you. You have to initial or sign that you got the card because we're giving you cash back. And the people who didn't pay don't get their cards. So Joanne just needed some time. So Eileen, are you going to be there? You said at 1 o'clock?
I was supposed to, I was down for morning, but I can change to the afternoon.
I think Joanne might need some time. I don't know, because there's numbers on the cards and stuff. So we need some admin time. So please don't, please don't show up before noon, please, because the girls are, it's just going to be a disturbance. And we'll also discuss tonight after this meeting about maybe adding a couple of evening and Saturday hours over the next couple of weeks to, yeah. And we'll send out a schedule for that. We'll email that out. All right. But we just don't want office staff overwhelmed by 728 people trying to pick up food and beverage cards. And if you have a designated person that's not you, please call or send. We need something in writing that says that you authorize somebody. I know some people, they can't get there and their kids or somebody will pick it up. We're not insensitive to that, but we want to make sure that that's actually reality. If you just come in and say, oh, my great aunt so-and-so told me to pick up my card and we don't know you, we're not giving it to you. Sorry. It's not happening. It's $175. We can't.
It's a negotiable item, so we have to make sure we hand it to the right party. Just to finish up, we have the same number of units with payment arrangements. That's 8. And the same number of units that are out for bankruptcy or foreclosure, which is 5.
Okay. Thank you. So we are the gentleman's here to do the presentation. So we just want to schedule the next meeting, and then adjourn. We have a budget meeting scheduled for February 10th. That's hopefully we will have enough proxies accept that budget by that point. Worst case scenario is we do it in the March annual meeting. That's when the board finally approves the final budget. But we would like to have as many proxies before February 10th as possible to see where we sit. When we did the proxies on the budget the last time, we had a good participation. So that was great. So yeah. All right. So before we start, I just need to adjourn this meeting. So the next meeting will be February 10th. I know it's another Tuesday. It is what it is, whether you can make it or not, and we'll do it at 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. All right? Everybody okay? Mm-hmm. All right. So do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion.
Renee, mm-hmm. You made a motion to adjourn. Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't say so loud.
Yeah, please. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Kathy, yeah. Seconded?
Okay. Kathy
did. Okay, everyone agree? Say aye. Aye. All right. So now we have our gang of four. We have, unfortunately for our members in Zoom land, this is not a Zoom presentation, but you're here to listen, and that's good. We'll just make sure all our mics are on and turned towards the gentleman, or you can use that mic that's up there in the front here, just because people are...
Can I grab it?
Yes, you can. Yes. I'll just pretend it's a paintbrush.
I'll let you sing and dance.
All right. So, Eileen, do you want to introduce these gentlemen since you set this up for us?
Yes. Elvis Ippoliti is representing his company and Research Grow. And his production manager is Richard Fearing.
Yes.
Hi, Richard.
How are you?
Brian Horvath.
Yes.
Represents Tough Top Coating. And Jorge Perez represents Pittsburgh Paint. Yes.
Ask questions, if you, because we're very sensitive about painting catwalks.
If you guys want, I can provide some background very quickly. So
and welcome.
Yes,
welcome,
gentlemen.
Thank you. So, we're nice people.
This is in regards of the painting project for the floors of the buildings, for the catwalks, the stairways and the walkways to the parking spaces. So the idea is for all of us to be here so that we can answer any questions you guys may have. So I'm the owner of the painting company. I have been in business for many, many years. Richard is the person that would lead the production. So the production manager who would take care of the project. Brian, as Eileen mentioned, he represents the coatings. So the product, they are the manufacturers of the products that we are going to use to coat the floors. And then we have Jorge, who works for Pittsburgh Paints, formerly PPG,
right.
who are the distributors of the Tough Top product. And Jorge is the person, is the reason why I'm here, because he told me, you know, this community is looking to get their floors. And we had a meeting in August of last year with Eileen and Charles, and it was a very productive meeting. We spent, I don't know, 1.5 hours, and they asked as many questions as you can imagine about the project, and why the project should be handled one way or the other way, and why we should not just recoat all the floors, and why those floors, what is the best approach that we would recommend, which are the different options to handle. And so we went through all of that until we ended up with the recommendation that you guys have, which very briefly is, and I can explain, we can go through all the extent of explaining all the
details and why this makes sense, but the recommendation is to grind all the codes that are currently on the floors.
45 years.
All those layers. I can see at least 4 or 5 different colors. it's easy. I mean, you can just see it. After that process is complete, I'm just making this simpler. I mean, but after that process is completed, there is a very quick cleaning. Let me call it a pressure cleaning. It's more like a rinsing. So to make sure that all the dust is removed and we comply with the specifications, by the way, that TopTop has for providing a warranty on the floors. And then the last step would be to apply a couple of coats of the product every year. And one building to the other would be signing off building after building. So until we complete the 14 buildings. I don't know if you have any questions, and we can take it from
there. Yes, I do. Does yours include laundry room?
No, it doesn't. We were specifically asked to remove from our proposal, or not to include in our proposal, laundry rooms, storage rooms, or anything that is not the catwalks, the stairways, and the walkways that lead to the parking.
And how do you prevent from chipping? That's a very good question. I'd say catwalks and lot.
Let's talk about, let's dial this back just a little bit and talk about the options we have in front of us, because there's different options about what we can do, some of which were way out of our budget. But the reason we wanted to do this is staining or painting. It is going to be a continuous project. And the other thing that I'm just going to throw out now, because we've discussed internally and we've not probably really talked to you about it, was the stairwells. The stairwells you really don't see from the outside. And honestly, I think we could get rid of all the paint in the stairwells, but I'm not sure we want to do anything to them after that, because there are stairwells, and why should we keep painting and painting and maintaining? Because the stairwells, you know, can become a very expensive part of the project. And even if we took it all off, doesn't prevent us from putting something on later if we change our minds. I'm just throwing it out there to the audience.
So it would have just a concrete look. It would just look like concrete.
Yeah. It'll look like a stairwell.
Like a stairwell.
Yeah.
Would you place something over the concrete?
No.
The preparation would still be the same though.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because the stairwells look terrible now.
And then, then just leave them naked.
Can we?
But go ahead.
Go back to the peeling question.
So yes.
That,
yes.
Because
yes.
I think we should cover that.
Yeah. Also. Okay. Fine.
So how we prevent it?
Yes, we're preventing.
Talk to the mic, please.
Ryan Horvath, Marine Industrial Paint Company, makers of Tough Top coatings. We're out of St. Petersburg, and all we manufacture is floor coating. So in the question of how do you prevent chipping, there's no coating that's actually scratch proof. So most of the situations on older buildings are chipping from previous coats coming up. That's what you have here. It's called intracoat adhesion failure. And it can be from a number of things. Say that 10 years ago, the prep wasn't done very well and they coated up. That's one situation. Incompatibility between coatings. That's another situation. So it's not necessarily the top layer that you put down that's going to chip. It's the subsequent layers underneath. They typically go first, and they take the top layer off with it. So preventing chipping, the best thing is removal of these estic coatings to prevent future chipping. So that's one thing that's in the scope here. So
will there be a sealant as part of
the stain is typically classified as a sealer, concrete sealer, but it's a solid color sealer. The way that one works, it's a solvent and it penetrates into the pores of the concrete. The water-based versions look to grab on to any kind of roughness on the top of the concrete and adhere that way. So there are two different ways of adhesion based on what you go with, water-based or solvent stain. They both give a solid color look.
So the stain is not translucent?
No, it's not. We make one that's a clear, but we sell mostly the color version.
We've had repairs on our sidewalks. Can everyone hear me? We've had repairs on our sidewalks and catwalks that would be a different texture and a different color, possibly.
Right.
So something that is opaque would work better than something that's translucent.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, all those colors are going to
be long-term future repairs and maintenance, out. Right?
So we're talking rather generally, because if we go with stain versus paint, the two different toppings, and they have different characteristics and different wear characteristics.
Right.
So this is a very general discussion if we haven't chosen to go stain versus paint.
We haven't chosen. That's why we're having this conversation, right. And we haven't gotten into the warranty of either or either. So I, you know, we need people to understand what we're looking at.
We may, since this is close to 48 years old.
So I just want to clarify that it's not as general. The board has both prices.
Okay.
So they have right. Both prices in black and white, and it's a matter of just deciding each of the two options. The solvent based option is about 10% more expensive. Because several issues. First, the price of the product itself is more expensive, and second, the application is so. But they have the prices, and it's just a matter of making a decision. And the process is exactly the same.
We also would want to know how long each of the different coatings lasts.
Did you find a warrant?
Yes, I think.
Yeah, we have it's a warranty we use. It's basically for material defect. There's with floors, there are so many variables that go into application that are different than walls. It's very different, more difficult to coat a floor and have all the conditions be met. So this is a material defect warranty, basically. It excludes all the act of God stuff, and application issues or prep issues, things that would definitely lead to a failure if something wasn't prepared right on the floor. That's what it's for.
Excuse me.
Yes.
It excludes preparation?
It says that if...
An application?
If there is a... It find out that there's a preparation issue, like...
Right.
Coating over concrete dust,
okay,
which will absolutely cause an adhesion problem,
okay,
then that's not included in a warranty.
But you're one team here, correct?
Absolutely. Yep.
So even though you don't warranty it, you're going to chew it up and you're going to redo it for us at no cost, right?
Well, that happens. We'll do site visits and we'll make sure that everything is done correctly.
Yeah, but you're looking at it as it's being done and shortly after it's done. What happens a year, 2 years from now when problems start to occur? Who's on the hook for that? At no cost to us.
So the warranty for this project was 2 years. 2 years. So the warranty that is being provided for this project is a 2-year warranty. So
that's only against defects.
It was three?
Yes,
there are so many things I can say about this. The first one, on painting projects, 90% of the issues happen
surface
very early on. I mean, if you don't have issues the first 3 to 6 months, the probability of something happening year number four is almost negligible. So 3-year warranty sounds like short, yes, but in reality, especially for floors, in reality, it's extremely long. And if nothing has happened within the first 3 years, most probably nothing is going to happen for the following. That's point number one. Point number two is no paint manufacturer. I can mention Sherwin-Williams, Behr, Benjamin Moore, PPG. No paint manufacturer guarantees floors. As soon as we finish, the day we finish, we leave, that floor is not guaranteed. And there is a reason for that. Traffic, which is completely different to a wall. People dragging stuff, dropping groceries, oil, people driving motorcycles on the catwalks. I mean, I have seen all kinds.
I've seen it myself here.
And that's the reason why paint manufacturers don't offer any warranty. We have the other extreme, which, yes, there are codes that are guaranteed for 10, 12 years, which are similar to flat roof waterproofing processes, okay? They are very similar materials. We have to apply a nylon sheet on the floors, we have to pre-coat, apply a nylon sheet on the floor, and then apply two more coats. It's very similar to a flat roof waterproofing. But we made the calculation of that project for your community, and the materials only, just the materials, were $600,000. Just the materials.
I remember when I had to tell her, I was like, she's not going to like this job.
Well, that was to
say your number was triple what the bids for staining.
So we were trying to understand the needs of the community. We try to go with someone in between that is not as expensive, but is not completely worthless, such as a cosmetic paint that has zero warranty for you guys, which is what most communities just do. They just paint the floors, that's it, and call it a day. And then in 3 years, we'll see. If it doesn't look good, we'll repaint again.
And are we talking paint or stain in this conversation right this minute?
Both are very similar.
Okay.
I mean,
all right, all right.
Very, very similar. I honestly don't like the name stain because it confuses. The difference, and correct me, Brian, if I don't say this correctly, is the way the product acts. What we're calling the solvent-based paint, which we are calling stain here, it penetrates the concrete. It's like becomes part of the concrete like a stain. That's why some people call it a stain. Whereas the water-based paint, it sticks, but it doesn't merge with the concrete. So
grinding is going to leave a very poor surface. So even with the water-based product, there's 3 times more surface area for it to bond to than just paint a flat surface.
Say the preparation could go for either product.
Well, clearly the preparation, and that's really the cost of this project.
That's the key.
To take out all the, and that's what was not done in the prior thing, because that alone, I mean, what the cost of this right now, we're talking how much money? And the difference on some of those other products we did look at is, yeah, we could go top shelf, but then for the loan that we just took out, we would only get the paint. We wouldn't get a parking lot. We wouldn't get elevators. We didn't get, you know, we got a lot to do here. So we have to be mindful of costs.
Can we go back to the stairways? I did some pre-work. Eileen mentioned to me that probably you guys would like to have an idea on this. And we had this conversation. We don't love the idea of grinding and not painting any surfaces, and we're gonna explain why.
Okay, that's fair. No.
Let's go straight to the monetary reason. The stairways are, I made the calculations, are about 15% of the total surface to be painted. I mean, your buildings are long, and the stairways, as a percentage of the whole thing, are way less than what they sink.
Okay,
there are some other buildings that are shorter, and they got three stairways, so the stairway is a larger percentage. In your case, that's not the case. So it's about 15% of the surface. Now, that 15% of the surface still has to be grinded 100%.
Yes.
And prepared 100%. So we are only skipping the two coats of paint. When we only skip that, your saving is going to be under 5%.
Oh, that's fair.
So it's going to be under 5%. I don't know if that is worthwhile for the.
Well, no, it's a good way to think about it. No, because.
But here comes the other part, the second part on why we think you guys are way better off investing that 5%, and is because leaving the substrate, both outside or inside, unpainted has consequences. Would you like to mention some of
that? Yeah, please tell us the pluses.
There's two that we're speaking about. The first one is that it's going to leave the concrete very coarse. So if there's an area where it's going
to be closer, please.
If there's an area that's going to receive a lot of moisture, especially pond and water, that water is only going to absorb into the concrete and probably do some damage. It's a concrete expands when it absorbs moisture, it contracts, and the bottom of these stairwells already have some damage from this happening. The coating on it is probably venting it and moisture from getting in there now. But grinding it is going to open up the pores of the concrete, and it's just going to allow a lot more of that to happen. Aesthetically, it's a horrible idea because it's just going to turn black very quick.
That's good to know.
It's very coarse, so when you walk up and down steps with
dirty sheets.
There's a trail. So basically, the recommendation for it is totally beneficial to paint because you're not going to spend a lot of paint. It's
probably the most economic way to.
Okay, that's fair.
So leaving it unpainted is really going to cost you more in the long run.
That's fair. That was suggested by an owner. He says, well, why would we even bother painting the stairwells? And I thought, well, you know, when you look at the building, that's not a bad idea, but now you're telling us, we're not saving anything, really.
It's a fair question. I mean, I think it's a fair question. I made the calculations, but when you see the monetary benefit versus the incremental pressure cleaning, maintenance, and you know, the time of the property manager contacting the suppliers and having this done
that's
frequently,
fair.
Probably you guys are better off spending that 5% if possible.
Yeah, no.
So I'm interested in solving the problem long term and reducing maintenance costs in future years. As a baseline, whether you do the, I'll call it stain or the paint method, how many years before it's got to be redone or reapplied?
It's very difficult to answer and give a quantitative number.
Would it be fair for me to assume it's going to be every 3 years since the warranty is only 3 years?
3 years is two. I've seen 2 to 3 years is kind of like the time on recoding.
Okay, so we're talking about something that's going to be high maintenance.
Now, it also depends on what your cleaning protocol too. You know, so just like a car, you know, if you don't ever wash it.
Right.
No, it's eventually gonna wear down.
Yeah, after the third year, are you gonna have to then strip again?
I would say no to that.
Well,
the ones we're stripping are 40 years, 20 years.
And the paint on the building, the recommendation was to repaint the buildings every 7 to 10 years. See, what we're looking for, if possible, is to get into a cycle that when we go to repaint the buildings, you know, to stay on a schedule, that if we kind of do the catwalks then and we do the whole project at one big deal that we, at some point, you know, can we get into that 7 to 10 year cycle, or are the floors and the catwalks, because I don't know about anybody else, but if you've lived here for, I've lived here for 20 years, and the biggest complaint of every resident since I've moved in is the maintenance guys are always painting something on the floors, which is why we have multiple colors of multiple products of multiple stuff. And we're trying to not have that chronic maintenance issue.
And what you typically will see, sorry, is you'll see the ground floor be way different than the top
floor. Oh, yeah, the ground floor right. takes a no, big hit.
Down,
oh, yeah.
Dirt goes down.
No, and we know that. I mean, really, at the end of the day, the first floor is always going to be double to me in my head. What if you go on the fourth floors, if you walk the buildings, the fourth floor is like nobody lives there. You wonder if these people even leave their units. They're like the cleanest. They're like the cleanest people on the planet. They're wearing their little fluffy slippers going to the dumpster chutes. And the first floor between the ducks and the kids and the cars and the people and the and what's coming off just naturally hitting that surface. It's not their fault.
Well, it gets used and abused, yeah.
give me a comparison. Stain versus the paint. Puddling of water. What does it do? How long does it take to deteriorate, delaminate, whatever?
I would say it's hard to quantitate it because the stains have some silicone tip for water repellency. Neither of these coatings are characterized as waterproof. By no means. But they do have some water resistance to them, weatherability of water. I would say on the stain, you're going to get maybe 1.5 times the wear of the water-based coating.
Okay. And Eileen brought up the fact that there have been a lot of patches done on the catwalks where internally rebar or whatever had to be repaired. So not everything is smooth.
No.
Okay, so and I'm assuming that even through your grinding, you're not going to make those areas smooth.
Not perfect.
Okay, so there's going to be ponding in those situations, no matter what you put down.
South Florida.
Okay.
Water ponds. So perfect drainage here.
So we're talking about some type of attention being needed every like 1.5 years for the stain. And
no, I'm saying on wear, you get typically 1.5 times more better wear on a
better
stain.
Wear.
Yes.
Okay.
At only 10% more cost.
And if we went with one product like the stain and changed our minds, can we flip it, or is it just better to, if we make the decision, is this a do or die deal?
I would say compatibility is paramount. So
I think what she means is once all the prep, the grinding and everything, if we say, oh wait, we said we want to stain, but now we want paint before anything is actually put down, once all ground.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but I'm talking long term.
There's no
you're talking
prep. Yeah, long term.
Sorry,
yeah.
She's talking long term.
Yeah. Paint over stain or stain over paint.
Maybe what Patty
it's incompatible.
Okay, thank you. That was my
concern. Can we switch? If we
just initially said no.
No, right. You can't go from paint.
If you decide to go with the stain,
right,
you want to stick with the stain.
Stick with
you
the
don't
stain.
Want to put the...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably part of the issue that you're having right now. Because maybe you use the solvent base and then sometimes another maintenance came in, then he put a water base.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to stick, and that's when you're going to get all the peeling that he's talking about.
Another benefit of stains is recoating penetrates. When you recoat over stains, the way it adheres to itself is it re-emulsifies into the previous coating. It doesn't sit as a layer in layers. That's water-based.
Mm-hmm.
It remelts into itself, and the bonding is just way, way better than water-based layers.
So if you had to pick between paint and stain for your own property,
I would just stain on a bare concrete.
Absolutely. Okay. All right.
I'd like to have one.
We have had a couple of people in the back who want to ask some questions.
Gail, can the lady in the back behind you, she's just.
For these two products, the slipperiness coefficient, especially when it gets wet, are either one more slippery than the other. Okay. And then for our cleaning people that we hire, what is the recommendation of them? Let's say it's the same that we get. What are they supposed to do properly and not harm it?
Both of these coatings, the leach will take the pigment out of the coating.
Bleach has been banned by already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It won't
affect
the film so much, but it will affect the appearance. It will bleach out the colors in the product. So we recommend Dawn, some kind of degreasing detergent like degreaser.
Okay.
That's
easy.
And pressure cleaning.
Very light, if any.
More rings.
Very light.
If you go with a thermal.
Usually the cleaning ladies, what they'll do is, because they used to use bleach back in the day when we painted this time, that it was recommended not to do that. So we stopped. We were using like solvent green or something, or, you know, some
simple green.
Simple green. Yeah, not solvent green. That's a bad movie. and they use, they blow, you know, they have little, hand blowers to blow off the stuff, and they do wash the floors. They'll do a big mopping, and then every now and then they used to do a big cleaning where they can bring the hoses up and wash it all down and stuff and let it, you know, and that's all acceptable.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then we protect our elevators out, have these padding that they can make a deposit, we can padding, they put the padding back, they get the deposit back. Is there something like that we should be doing around the elevators? Is there some sort of protective material put down that somebody valves or some sort of construction or something we're supposed to lay down to protect?
It's purely optional, but it's always a good idea with you know, move in, move out, dragging. You'll get a lot of things dragged on the floor.
Hand trucks don't have good
hand
tires.
Yeah, the tires are worn out, the rims, and, you know. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Outside the elevators, I think in every building, there's almost this quarry tile-like facade that's laid on top. When you grind, you're taking that away,
that's
right? That's called, okay.
It's called an overlay.
Yes.
Yeah, overlay.
Okay. And when, Ralph, when you spoke about the black in the stairwells, if there's no coating, is that chiefly because of the fact that it is a stairwell? And would the same thing happen to the fourth floor catwalk if there wasn't any surface coating on that?
Because the concrete is going to be left pretty coarse. The grinding process, we use the diamond stones to... it's going to almost feel like sandpaper, you know?
Right.
So because there's nothing protecting it anymore from any type of debris you guys drag. It's going to grab any oils, dirts from your feet, and I can only imagine as much as the staircase is issues, especially on the lower floors. You're going to slowly start to see these black mats start to form,
which penetrate, by the way.
And then if you get plenty of water, you're going to see all that green algae and all that.
That's the aesthetic part.
It's not going to be pretty.
But the problem is that after that happens, not even grinding, they're going to be removing it.
You have to grind it lower and lower to get it out of there.
It penetrates the concrete.
When you're through grinding, when you're through grinding, you say there's going to be a rough finish. Correct?
Rougher than it is now, yes.
Like sandpaper.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
That should help
the
stain, slip and fall.
Right, exactly. The stain would penetrate the concrete and still leave that rough finish, correct?
Yeah.
The paint will not, am I correct?
The paint will less. So,
correct. Okay, so from a slip and fall, it's better to use stain than paint.
Yes, from that perspective. I was gonna make a comment earlier. I think there's a lot of benefits of using the stain versus the water-based product. The one that I should point out though on the other shoe is, in my opinion anyway, if I'm wrong, the latex-based, the water-based products tend to clean easier. And, you know, when you're cleaning them and rinsing them off, I found it much easier to remove stains and footprints and stuff like that off of the water-based products. The stains tend to grab them a little bit more. I personally had my driveway done. It's a little tree that leaves the oily nuts, and I could never get it out of that salmon-based product yet. I never had that problem.
Okay, fair enough. So it's good to know. Yeah.
Go ahead, Gail.
So just to be clear about, said that we'll never have a schedule where all the floors need to be done at the same time because of the difference in the wear from the first to the fourth. So we may want to do first floor more often than fourth floor, just for instance. But I don't have an idea of how much difference there is percentage-wise between going with stain versus going with paint and how many years difference. Well, you said 1.5 times as long if it's stain versus paint. But what's the differential in the cost of stain versus paint?
The difference in both lines of the proposal is 10%.
And then
10%. Stain being more expensive, 10% more expensive, about 10% more expensive than.
But it lasts 1.5 times as long as
It has, according to.
So it's actually wear. Cheaper.
The wears. Wears less.
So the wear is cheaper.
Yes.
When we grind everything down, the concrete is really very uneven in some places. There's areas where it's damaged, especially.
Well, we've actually talked about repairing some of that, though.
Yeah, and there's places where pools in the stairwells.
I know.
Awesome. I just went over that. Yeah.
Elvis actually included that in his proposal.
That wasn't discussed here.
It hasn't. Yeah.
So that to fix that would actually. Beneficial, I think, for us to do that.
It would be ridiculous to do the amount of prep work and not do that. Also, over the expansion joints where the larger buildings come together.
Yes,
that's a huge issue.
Because of the extent of the project, and obviously we can't inspect all the floors of 14 buildings.
Right.
To prepare the proposal. There is an additional option to do some leveling work on a per square foot basis.
Yeah.
So per bagage. So
no, and I think so, we're the board has pretty much agreed that we have to do that because and the buildings have settled. I mean, again, you know, the settling and the wear and tear, you know, even eventually marble wears down. You know, the Romans got good use out of their product, but we're not that lucky, so.
We don't have any mountains to climb.
Brian,
yes.
In terms of bonding, the filler material that Elvis is recommending, how well does the stain adhere to that product?
Great question.
I recommend anything with ash material be a cementitious material.
Say that again?
Anything, any patching material?
Yes.
I recommend for stains especially be a cementitious material where it's porous just like the floor is when they grind it to accept the stain.
Right.
That's what you have.
And that's what you're recommending. Good.
And that product itself will bond perfectly fine to the coarse grinded concrete.
Okay. Good.
And that will solve it.
To what extent do you use subcontractors? Do you use subcontractors?
Oh, I do, and I love it. Yes, absolutely. And it's the best we can do for you.
So in other words, you're going to hire someone else to do the
painting? Richard is my sub. So, and
So you're selling the job and he does the work?
Not exactly. Let me explain why this is the best scenario by far for you. And I have been in this business 20 years. And I do have employees. Yes. Employees get paid on a per hour basis. Whatever their productivity is, they get paid on a per hour basis. For a project such as yours, you can be prepared to wait for 2 years for the project to be complete. Richard, on the other hand, and myself get paid on a per project basis. He's not going to see a cent until the building is signed off and the customer is satisfied and the customer has issued a payment. So it's in their best interest to go as fast and as productive as possible. Instead, you're going to see employees just standing against the railings, making phone calls because they are being paid anyway. Right, so,
there's other things that can happen.
Okay, that just
worked together for 10 years.
Yeah, just to complete the idea. It's not that
I'm sorry. He's not subbing anybody.
It's not that I met Richard this morning. I mean,
right.
Richard worked for me for more than 10 years.
Yeah.
So it got to a point where he started his own company, basically working for floors. That's 90% of what he does. So in addition, he has the full expertise, 100%, to complete a project such as this one, because that's what his company does, basically.
So he's the expert on the floor.
He's yes. So that's the other reason why it's good for you. I mean, if you ask me to restucco part of your buildings, then the best approach is to find the people that are great at restucking the building. My employees not necessarily are the best ones doing that. My guys are really good at painting. They are really good at painting the crown molding, painting the baseboards, and doing it beautifully. But when some specialty work is required, you guys are much better off with me approaching the right person. Now, here's the other part related to price. If Richard was working directly with you guys, his price would not be the price that he's given. He's given me a way special price, basically, because I'm hiring him. But in addition, we both are providing all the warranties, all the workers' compensation, general liability, umbrella insurance, all the insurance, everything. So you get the benefit of having both companies fully covered and 100% ready to do.
So, yes. But you would start and finish the job together. And so we would only be dealing with you and not with different subcontractors.
No. The main person who would be handling project is Richard.
Okay.
But
now, if there is anything that Richard can solve, obviously I'm the person to tackle. That's it. It's the two of us. There is nobody else.
Okay,
but we only have privy to contract with you, correct?
The contract is with
you, yes. Not with Brad.
No, with him. Okay. Yes. And I'm 100% responsible of the contract. Obviously.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Bo, if I go to Home Depot, whether I'm buying stain or I'm buying paint. If I go there and I buy a 5 gallon can of stain or paint, it tells me approximately how many square feet that's going to cover. Right?
That gives you a range based on the
right.
substrate.
Okay. Yeah. Does our specification require so much material for such and such an area, especially in the area of stain where it's actually going to be absorbing into the concrete?
Absolutely, because that's what I look for, and especially issuing a warranty, is I went out and got a wheel just for that purpose, because I get called to a lot of jobs where we have issues,
right.
And the only way to really check on coverage is to roll the square footage and look at the quantity of gallons. And they will either, you know, make sense or not make sense. So if you go onto a job that they're swearing I did three coats
and you do the math, and they rolled out 550 square foot per gallon, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's so, math.
You know, so there is a range there. There's a range.
And who's responsible for checking that to make sure that it's being done in accordance with the specification?
Right here.
And how often are you going to be on site? Because we had a rep from Payne Company before, and they really weren't on site enough.
He's already, Gail, he's already been on site more just quoting this job than the last one. Just saying.
When we were quoting the job. But when the job started after the first building was gone, he was gone.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be here and worth it for us, we want to know that. How often are you going to be here?
Once a week.
Once a week.
Yeah, week.
So for 4 days,
sorry.
You will not be checking the paint. It'll come at the end of the week.
Randomly.
Yeah.
It's not going to be
on and out.
Yeah. It's random. It's not like I'm going to be there, so everybody, you know.
But there is no need for them to be every single day. I mean, because it's simple math. I mean, they see our orders. You guys have a specific color. I will not be able to use that color elsewhere. I would have to convince some other customers to use that code. So they know exactly how much product I'm using and how much I'm using per square foot. So
also, then you have to get square footage to offer a bid?
Yeah, of course. we know the square footage of your buildings.
It is in our best interest that these two gentlemen do the job correctly.
So that they can issue
because
order.
We are liable. If we don't check the work and we issue you a warranty and then the job fails, it's on us.
It's all right.
So I want to make sure.
I'm asking questions because of experience.
Right,
okay?
Yes. But that's at the end of the day, the job is done. We come in, we can do an adhesion test to make sure that
it's done properly. Something that I want to tell you, Jorge and I measured all the buildings separately.
Yeah.
And then he sent me his number.
Yeah.
And the good news is that we were 1,000 square feet of difference, which is nothing for this job. It was absolutely right there. So they know exactly, measured by them,
the amount of product that is
required, and we know it on our end.
And for maintenance purposes, this product will be available for the next.
Definitely.
Whatever thousands of years down the road, because you know we're not changing the colors.
One more thing, which is important. This gentleman here doesn't pay for the paint. He has nothing to do. I mean, he can apply 300 gallons in this little space. He's not paying for that. So, and we do it that way so that we make sure that. They are going to apply the right amount of paint. I mean, it's going to be irrelevant for their paint.
And trust me, it is in his best interest that they do it correctly, because if they have to come back to fix something that they didn't do correctly, that's money in their pocket that they're losing. So the majority of the contractor that I work with, they treat it like it's their own house, their own community.
And not only that, but he actually brought us in, and if we were to make that right. Bad on him, he's not going to bring us in.
Right. Because I don't want a headache. I don't want to be bringing people that are irresponsible and don't do their job correctly.
One more thing. Just as an example, we completed a community in Miramar, Grand Riviera, isn't it?
Yeah.
11 buildings a few months ago. Same combination. I mean, it was top, it was through PPG.
And at the end of the day, it's all about the surface preparation. If they don't do the right surface preparation, you're not going to get it. Same thing when you're getting a car. If you don't wash that car correctly and then you're trying to detail the car, it's not going to be properly done. So that's the key, the surface preparation.
In terms of surface preparation, you mentioned.
No, somebody's asking.
Sorry.
Is it the same for color as colors? Color of the condo?
The color. The color is depending whatever you guys
select. Yeah, of course. No.
Okay.
No, it'll be the same. Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've been living for porches with concrete, so it's like 45 years. So I've seen every color go up.
Yeah. Color. So you're responsible for every color. You can. You're our historian.
But you know, every color has pros and cons. Yeah. I've seen it at the dark color, yeah. and it goes back down to the concrete, and then we started doing the lighter colors, and then you're seeing going, you know, from light to dark. Everyone has pros and cons. So, I mean, are we going to be given a choice, or?
Wait, really? At the end of the day, you know, that came up when we painted the building. You know, we have to kind of stay in the same color scheme because it's a common area issue. And, you know, there was back and forth about the colors and the changes. And we kind of, you know, we're going to stay in that's what we have, close to what we have now. There's no reason to make it too contrasting. And, yeah, and there's pros and cons for both, yeah, but, you
I
know.
Think initially, they have the building a little darker, and then they yes. have the dark brown floor.
Right, so. Right. But, you know,
I think the word is material alteration.
Right,
so
thank you.
If you change the color, it could consider material alteration, and then you're open up to all sorts of stuff. Yeah. So I think the word
is yeah. And we're going to end
and
this.
And the doors are already painted right now. The doors match the floor, or the floor matches the doors.
Okay, guys, just a couple more questions because we need to finish up.
What time of day do you paint, or do you paint at night? And what kind of accommodations do you make to get into the building and out of the building during the painting?
As of right now, what we have in the proposal is 8-5 on weekdays and Saturdays. Now, obviously, we have since we have not moved forward, we have not discussed at that level of. Now, regarding the accommodations, I think Richard, how we handle the job.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd be pretty flexible around that. I mean, as long as you stay consistent from one building to the next, we're very good at sticking to a schedule. So in advance, you got to prepare a schedule, whether it's certain floors on certain days or in certain hours, that people may.
I guess the real question here is, if you're doing the floors, how much time does it take for the paint to dry before anybody should step on
that's
it?
That's a great question. The first coat's going to dry very quickly. It's going to absorb it into the concrete and dry much faster than the second coat.
What's very quick? An hour, 10 hours, 5 minutes?
I mean, 30 minutes left and 30 minutes.
Okay.
The first stain is a little bit quicker, but both are very, very quick.
And now, and can you do like half and half so people can move on, or do you just try and do the whole thing at one time?
Not necessarily making a line in the middle of the floor.
Okay.
You will see it. We could do it that way, like, but there will be.
Oh, you can see it. That was my next question. Yeah. So, how long would the second coat take to dry?
I would say 2 to 4 hours, probably, depending on how the weather is that day.
Probably a little less than that. Yeah.
But we really want to kind of encourage people not, because there's always a few that don't.
Yeah, if we have to touch them, yeah, we will. That's the way to go.
It happens. I can guarantee you, but some people are just like waiting for us to paint.
No matter how long or how long they have a note.
Exactly. So we know how to handle this. We're not going to make a big deal out of it.
Okay.
The guys are going to come and touch them.
Yeah. Okay.
Richard,
yes.
In terms of prep. I understand the grinders can, we have railings on all the buildings, as you know, and those railings can't be removed. The grinders cannot reach all the way to the edge. How will you deal with grinding the edge that is beyond the railing so we don't wind up with a ponding effect?
Yeah. So the outside of the railings will most likely be done with lift. So we'll be able to get that little 2 or 3 inch section that way. There's probably going to be a small space directly underneath the railing that's just a little bit more difficult, and a half inch or a quarter inch perimeter around the actual base of the railing.
Okay.
We usually will use some type of hand tool or something just to kind of chip away at it a little bit. Nothing's going to be perfect in that area, but we're going to get it.
Well, of course, people aren't walking on it either, so yeah.
Yeah, it's most likely it'll never get
touched. Okay. Do we have any more questions from the floor? Okay, I think,
Sorry, I have to go.
Okay, go for it, because it's almost an hour now.
The stain you said lasts 1.5 times longer than the paint. How long does the paint last before it has to be redone?
Very difficult to give a quantity of that based on
use. Give me 3 to 5, moisture. Give me 1 to 2, whatever.
I mean, I've seen coatings, water-based coatings, last 8 years. They're taken care of. It's very difficult. You can't really say that's going to last that long on floors, especially. But your question is, you want like a? I would say at the 3-year water warranty period.
Yes.
That's typically a time that they're recoated. Or the ground floor is recoated because it's worn.
Yes, right. Agreed.
And you're speaking. And you're speaking just of the paint, not the stain.
Both.
Oh.
Both. Yeah. Okay. I would say it's a good idea to build that in as a.
What are you trying to get with the question? Because
I'm trying to understand.
So the stain is a better choice. The stain is suitable for vehicular traffic, meaning you can drive your car on it.
Right.
The other product, the water base, is mostly for foot traffic, even though you can drive on it, but the stain is much stronger.
Right.
That's why it costs him more, and he's charging you more.
Yeah, it's very difficult to put a year on it. It's going to be worn.
Okay, so basically the warranty is for 3 years?
No, it's 2.
Yes.
It's 2 now?
Oh, it's 2? Oh, okay. It's 2. All right, it's
but
2.
But the stain will give you more.
Okay.
Longevity.
Okay.
And can a maintenance crew reapply, or do we need you?
Absolutely.
So it's not rocket science.
It's sell directly to condos, homeowners.
Yeah. But you got to make sure that if you decide to go with the stain, when you're going to do the maintenance, make sure that you stay with the stain, that you don't start putting
the same product. Yes, agreed.
Repainting, so you didn't have to go ahead and grind it.
No.
Eventually, yes.
Oh, yeah.
40 years from now.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Edward.
My question to you is, because I know the answer. How much of your price was paint, and how much price was grinding?
Oh, wow. How your that's
Isn't it itemized in the proposal, Charlie?
Yeah. It is. But
I wanted to give it out.
Oh, okay. Absolutely.
It was like 4 to 1. I think it was like 4 to 1.
But you mean the split between how much is related to grinding and how much is about 3 to 1?
Yeah, the prep is the cost.
So in other words, the second time they would be painting, it's only going to be about $120,000 or $150,000 rather than $500.
Yeah.
Or if we only do the first floor, it would be much less.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah, the fourth floor might not need as much.
So it might only be
$50,000. There is something like this. I think it's important. It happens also with walls when we paint. When we are asked, okay, how much warranty are you going to give with that paint? 7 years. Oh, that means that I need to paint year number 8.
Not necessarily.
I mean, you probably will get there in year number 7, and it's going to look beautiful.
Yeah.
What we are saying is that the manufacturer after that is not going to guarantee that the product is going to have the same properties. But you might be in a situation where the 2 years or 3 years are gone and your floors are still.
Oh, we might only be worried about those high level.
A few areas, maybe. It's important to keep that in mind. It's not that in 3 years it's going to look horrible again. No, that's not the case.
Okay.
I bet it's an average of 5 to 7 years that we go back to jobs to read that.
Yeah, because basically for us, it would be easier to just contract the whole process again, but to do everything, the walls and the, with maybe an exception of maybe a couple of floors on the first floor where we may feel we need to.
I don't even find it necessary to do that. You know, it's probably going to look worse when you're ready to do it.
Of course, but it's also going to.
You could probably go 7 years. Like that. I mean,
okay. All right.
It depends on how. Yeah. How much foot traffic you have.
It's going to be black.
It keeping it clean and all the other stuff.
Yeah. The
right.
Maintenance.
You
know,
yeah.
The wear and tear.
Right.
How much, you know.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
So it sounds, if you painted 2 years ago and you are planning to paint exactly on your number 7, your floors.
Within reason. Nothing's exact in our universe here, buddy. Yeah.
Let's say it's just for the sake of the discussion, your floors will have 5 years. I can guarantee you it's.
Then we could hit that schedule. We might be able
everything
to
together.
Avoid.
At that point, you're not going to have to grind.
Because you know, like I said earlier, we're not going to be here for forever, but we want to leave the information for future board members.
Right.
Let's say, dudes, this is when this stuff has to happen. This is the schedule you need to stay
yes.
on. This is what we have to do. If you want to maintain things, well, this is what has to happen.
Or you'd be better prepared.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much, gentlemen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for coming, guys. And we're out.
Already go, or we're not.